This is The Topic is Trek, episode 61, for Friday, February 21st, 2020. Coming up in this episode, is the Force with Star Trek fans? Why does that away team look so super? And we try our hand at absolute candor. Yeah, sure we do. All that and more, right now on The Topic is Trek. Dude, Vasquez rocks.
Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it, sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
You know, I was just thinking, what if we had a disclaimer saying, caution, there are spoilers ahead. If you haven't listened to this episode of The Topic is Trek yet, listen to it first, and then come back and listen to. Well, and okay,
I'd be just, up for that.
Actually, I think it's more like caution. We're thinking.
What am I even? Yeah. So let's stop that. And hi, I'm Clinton, one of your co-hosts for The Topic is Trek, and joining me, as I'm sure you've heard, their voices coming in from I'm not sure which region of the galaxy. First of all, Mr. Craig Stepp.
Wackabackadoo. Hello.
trying new phrases. I see in it.
Yeah.
I go back to
the network.
Did you pay for that one? I'm just wondering. Okay. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Greetings from the Epsilon Quadrant. Oh, wait, there's only four quadrants.
Sort of a Venn diagram galaxy. It's like where they all intersect, I guess, this type of thing. Or it's like a Gantt chart and Gantt we go on with.
When you said Vasquez rocks, all I could think of was the lady soldier from Aliens.
No, well, yeah, okay, fair enough. But remember, on this show,
the topic
is Trek. Okay. Well, we have a lot to cover in this episode. We're going to go over some news, and we're also going to discuss episodes 3 and 4 of Star Trek Picard.
Would that be tres y cuatro?
You'd have to ask Rios. I don't
or
speak.
Or Vasquez.
or Vasquez. Well, Vasquez rocks. So if you haven't seen those, well, then just stop the podcast right now. Go watch the episodes and come back.
Wait, pause the podcast. Go watch it and come back.
Oh, okay. All right. Very, very good. So just like put us on pause. We won't mind. It's like we'll be in stasis while you're watching the show.
Stopping sounds so permanent, Craig.
I didn't say stop.
I said stop.
I said pause it.
What's the secret magic word of this episode?
Please? I don't know. Anyway,
whenever we say tribble, scream real loud.
We'll also have a warp speed roundtable. Should we ever get? Oh my goodness, we're already out of control with the tribbles. Oh my goodness.
This tribble scream real loud.
But we only have one tribble here, so that should be okay. No problem whatsoever. All right, and let's get things started because I know one person who's very psyched because we're about to start our subspace chatter.
He always gets so excited over this.
He does.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Charlie.
Someday.
What are we going to do with you, Charlie?
Wait a minute. Didn't Clinton, didn't you make a new Charlie clip?
That was it.
He doesn't get excited in my clip. So we'll work on that, though. We'll have one where Charlie's excited. I don't know how we're going to accomplish that or when that's going to happen.
Subspace chatter.
Woo! Yeah. It's going to go running around the bridge. And
when we say subspace chatter, scream real loud.
All right. So since things are off such a good start, let's begin, shall we?
Yeah.
So just when you thought you were all set after ponying up money for CBS All Access, there are rumors that things may change.
Shut up and take my money.
What? Yeah, well, hold on a second. We'll see. Inside sources say that the newly merged Viacom CBS is considering combining all their media assets into one service building upon the success of CBS All Access. It would still feature shows like Star Trek Picard and Discovery and the new Twilight Zone reboot, but would also fold in assets including Pluto TV, Nickelodeon, BET, MTV, Comedy Central, and Paramount Pictures. Mm. There would reportedly also be an additional tier that adds in Showtime. So it sounds like they're really going to step this thing up at some point. Although the weird thing about it is including Pluto TV, because pretty much if you're familiar with that streaming service, it's a weird service because you go to the site or you have it on your smart TV or wherever you're using to watch things. And it's really a site that has a bunch of channels, like several dozen, maybe 100 channels. You scroll and keep scrolling and scrolling, but it's usually reruns. They have a channel that's all like Mystery Science Theater, one that's Riff Tracks, one that shows James, well, there's several, I think, that show James Bond movies, and they're just in a continuous loop of things. So it's not like I don't think you could incorporate Pluto TV and have it be indistinguishable from just including the things that are on Pluto TV. So I'm not quite sure what that means. Maybe they were like,
quite a possibility, but yeah. And yeah, I know what you're saying. I looked at Pluto TV and you're right. It's just like, hey, here's, what was it? I was just looking at one. It's a TV animals and there's like all animal stuff. And then there's the Crime Network and just crime stuff.
Yeah. It's like having your own mini version of an entire cable system, but it's on this one site.
Yeah.
And it is free. So that would mean it would go behind a paywall then, sort of, if they get wrapped into whatever this thing is going to be. So, right now it's just kind of an insider's rumor. And, I just want to mention it because I know pretty much everybody out there that's listening to the show has CBS All Access. So be prepared. Something may happen.
I'm curious how they're going to, I know you mentioned the Pluto TV, but like, were they just going to rebrand CBS All Access and kind of blend all this stuff in there?
As long as they don't call it Viacom CBS Plus, that's, you know, please don't right. do that. I think that to me, CBS All Access has the name recognition, but of course it's not really, it wouldn't be inclusive of all these other things. Like, right. Well, what does that have to do with Comedy Central or MTV or BET? So I would imagine they'd have to start over and rebrand the thing completely.
Maybe instead of peacock, it'll be like a parrot.
No, it's just a giant eye staring at you.
Sauron.
Yes.
Well, I think of
topic is Trek.
Yeah. When I think of Sauron, I also think of other dark and mysterious characters. And Chuck, I think you have a story about such a character.
That was a stretch going from Sauron to this character.
Was it though? Was it really?
Kudos for that segue.
Yes, this is about Elam Garak. Was he really just a simple tailor? A book entitled Make a Stitch in Time, published in 2000, shed a light on this somewhat shady DS9 character. The book was written by none other than the man who portrayed Garak on Deep Space Nine, Andrew Robinson.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Presented as a letter from DS9's resident Cardassian spy and tailor to Dr. Julian Bashir. Well, this is starting to sound biblical. A letter from Garak to the Corinthians. I mean, Dr. Julian Bashir.
Garak recounts mail service.
The augments. Yeah.
Garak recounts his life story and also notes developments on Cardassia after the end of the Dominion War. Make a Stitch in Time has long been out of print. Aww. But in 2016, Reddit Ask Me Anything interview, fans asked Robinson if he would make it into an audiobook. That would be awesome. Just to hear him narrate a book in that character voice. He said that nothing would give me more pleasure. However, the book's publisher, Simon & Schuster, were the ones who would have to make that happen. Now, via a petition from change.org, fans are asking the publisher to make it so. S-E-W. you see what we did there? Make it so.
S-E-W, by the way.
I think there's actually a tailor store around here somewhere called that. But anyway, we're all in. We're here all week.
Absolutely.
I would listen to it.
Try the Rack to Gino.
I think you'd want to keep the lights on though, because I think, you know, they can get kind of intense if Garrick's telling you a story. But apparently the book is deals with several different timelines. So he's writing this stuff to Bashir, but he's also talking about his childhood. He's talking about being, you know, brought into the Obsidian Order, and he's working on the post-Dominion Wars of the reconstruction of Cardassia and his feelings about, you know, the militaristic aspects, and was that a mistake, and, you know, all these different things. And it apparently came out of the beginnings of this was that Robinson did background on Garrick so that he would feel for how to deliver these lines as Garrick, and that kind of turned into these stories, and he would read the stories at conventions. And then a publisher came along and said, "Hey, you know, I think there's a book in that." And so it made it into a book.
Garrick's log, stardate 5432.1. Lunch with Julian was lovely.
Yeah, if that's every entry though, I'm not sure it's really gonna. Morn came in and tried Tuesday. To stiff me on the bill again.
Lunch with Julian Bashir was.
Morn was such a chatterbox today.
Blah blah blah. Can't shut him up.
Hey, I see it's available on Kindle,
but it's okay. So it's out of print, but it's still all right. So there you go. I mean, it's,
no, I wouldn't say that's actually print, but yeah, it's
not, right. You can't get a hard copy.
It's not Audible. It's just the book itself.
Well, here you go. Available. The Kindle version is $8.99. Over on the side, it says mass market paper book. From $56.08.
And 8 cents.
Dollars and eight
and
cents.
8 cents. There's a story behind that price, I'm sure, but I have no idea what it is.
That was the lawyer's cut.
Ah, I see.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was the creator's cut. The $56 is for the attorneys.
Well, you know, Chuck, you did such a great job recounting that story about Garrick. And doing the voice and everything. I think you should have the honor of also having the next story.
I can do that.
Okay.
Do you like surveys and fun graphics? Sure, we all do.
Yay!
Then good news, everyone. The folks over at Cable TV conducted a very unscientific survey of Star Wars fans. I didn't say that derogatorily. I just put that in air quotes for you.
It's actually in the notes here. So
they took this survey of Star Wars fans to see what other fandoms they belong to. Big surprise. Most of the respondents were also fans of Marvel and Disney. Around half were Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Hey, back to Sauron.
See, it all comes together.
But what about Star Trek? Well, about 25% of the respondents were also ready to live long and prosper. But wait, we promised you... fun. Graphics. Fun and graphics, too. Go to the show notes for episode 61 over at thetopicistrek.com and look for the link that will take you to the survey results. An interactive graphic shows you how many of the respondents share interest between any of the two listed fandoms. For instance, one link tells us that out of 8,757 respondents, 1,193 Star Trek fans are also Game of Thrones fans.
Hmm.
You can draw some interesting conclusions here. What if you're a fan of multiple things? I mean, just count you up and it says, okay, you know, we drew these. It looks like one of those things with all the spokes and the yarns and the criminal maps that you put lines.
Yeah, right.
Right, so you can go between any two and then you'd have to, like, I'm not sure how you could infer...
Right.
You know, say if somebody was interested in Star Trek and Harry Potter, which, by the way, is 1,542, were they also a fan of another thing in there? So it would just give you the, between any 2 points, but not no more branching beyond that.
And how many choices were in there, Clinton, out of fandom universes? Was there
seven? Like...
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, 7. Obviously, right. And like I said, it's very unscientific. What happened was, I guess there were there was a Star Wars movie marathon going on, and they had a contest, and as part of the contest, they had the survey. So that's why it's really not, you know, it's a self-selected group that are watching this, but still, it's interesting to see the connections. And I didn't think it was any big surprise that, hey, who would have thought they would like Disney and Marvel? Wow. That was the shocker of the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm actually about 6 out of 7.
Right. I was just going to say.
Now we have to figure out which one he's not. Come on.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
I haven't watched Games of Thrones, so I haven't really been into that.
You don't like the Games and the Thrones?
I didn't have HBO, so I was like,
here's a tip. Here's a tip. Don't worry about most of it. Just watch the last season. I hear it's the best.
Oh, that's the one I haven't seen yet.
That's what I hear.
Watched all the seasons except for the last one.
Hey, by the way, I was on a conference call for work, and I've got this nice Star Wars poster and some Star Wars stuff behind me. And I swap it out with my Star Trek stuff from time to time. And I got on the call, had the video on. The guy's like, oh, that's a killer poster. I talked about it for a second. And he said, man, you must hate Star Trek. I was like,
Why?
What are they? What? Yeah.
Yeah. Both I in just space. Put up with Clinton and Chuck.
Yeah. No, we've been doing a podcast for the last 2 years on Star Trek.
I've never really understood it. I probably never will, because they both got star in the name.
I know.
What? I don't understand.
Oh, and Game of Thrones spoiler, Sean Bean dies.
What?
Boromir gets it again.
Wow. Brace yourself. Spoilers are coming. All right. And we will now, we're talking about other things. So let's continue in that same vein as Craig gives us the next story.
Yeah. Cause you know, when we cross the streams, we just got to keep at it. Right.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So if you're playing the game Star Trek Online, you already know that you can do some customization to your own characters. Well, one player took things to an extreme, and no, it's not Clinton and his story about rolling around.
There was no rolling involved here. No.
His entire landing party consisted of the Justice League and Spider-Man. The player whose in-game handle is the_nameless_bard crafted outfits for his away team that look like Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Supergirl, and just to mix the streams even more, he threw Spider-Man in there. Now, come on. That's Marvel and DC and Star Trek.
See, anyway. Crossing those streams, I'm telling you.
That's right. The user said the Batman was the most difficult to create, and I'm sure.
He couldn't get those little C-shaped hands right for the Lego minifig.
Actually, they don't look bad. Spider-Man looks a little weird, but...
Yeah, I mean, you're basically just putting and by the way, we have a link to this story. If you go to the show notes for episode 61 over at thetopicistrek.com. But they're basically just doing a reskin of whatever the game, you know, uses the finish on the 3D character. But I'm wondering if the Batman one, and the picture is kind of small here. There are some other shots of, so I think what happens is he's probably taking a, like a Vulcan or a Romulan or something that has the pointed ears, and those become the ears on the cowl.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For that. So I think you just have to come up with all the right pieces and the capes. I don't know. Like Superman's cape looks like, is that a giant backpack on his back? I don't know what's going on there.
You know what this looks like? You know what this looks like? A Chinese knockoff toys of DC characters. Hey, I got Superman for you, kid. This didn't look like Superman.
It's spelled Superman with like two A's because it comes from Finland.
And you have them on this planet, and you have, you know, a Starfleet officer of some kind like looking at them like, what have I gotten myself into?
Whoa, okay. I've seen some strange stuff in this galaxy, but whoa.
All right.
Batman, they spell it B-H-A-T.
Well, when you know, you speak about Batman, you think of England. And when you think of England, you think of our next story. Because, you know the old saying, early to bed, no Star Trek before your eyes, and you lose at snooker.
I say that every time.
Absolutely.
I've got a t-shirt.
Yep. It should be a saying because according to one recent snooker champion, Sean Murphy, who just won the Welsh Open, congratulations, Sean, yes. He told interviewers about his pre-match preparations. Quote, I had my guilty pleasure of Star Trek The Next Generation in bed, and then I got to sleep about 3 a.m. Nice work, Sean.
Well so played.
If you stay up really late and watch Star Trek, you can do anything. I think that's the moral of that story, right? That's exactly what we're trying to convey with that.
Then you come back and listen to the topic as Trek.
Absolutely. Well, after you unpause it, because you paused it to play The Next Generation and a game of snooker, and then you come back again.
I figure if they pause it, you know, when they go back to, they go, oh, yeah, I didn't finish that episode, instead of stopping it. You know,
I understand.
Give them the next story.
Yeah, but what I understand is that you're going to read the next story, Craig.
Sure. How about that? That's a great segue, Clint.
All right. That doesn't involve Sauron at all, so it's wonderful.
Now, speaking of a show we haven't spoken about at all, we're going to talk about Star Trek Picard.
What?
It's easy to forget that we have another season of Discovery on the way, by the way. And this next story is mostly about Discovery.
It's mostly not about Discovery, actually.
I'm sorry. There's a word not in there. Mostly not about Discovery. Actually, actress Rebecca Romijn, the actress who played the iconic role of number one in season two of Discovery, is hinting that more appearances are on the way. During an interview with the Daily Front Row about her new jewelry line, Romijn was asked about her other projects. She listed off a few items and then added, I've also been working on Star Trek here and there, but I can't really talk about it. I think you just did.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's kind of what they do. You put those little, you know, those little hints out there, those rumors to get the buzz going. You got to get the buzz going. Yeah. And I think
I can't say I'm not working on it.
Like, it's like earlier this week, because I'm a fan of Community, this is the topic is Trek, but two of the actors on the show said, well, I got an interesting call about this very subject, about this movie thing, perhaps, but I can't talk about it yet, but stay tuned. It's like, oh, why you do this? So, yeah. Rebecca, why are you doing the same thing? You know, just either don't tell us anything or tell us everything.
I think we're about to hear something soon about a Pike era.
Yeah, I think that's, I would be extremely surprised if we don't hear that that's coming.
Maybe we can pin down Anson Mount on the cruise for some good dirt.
Yeah, I'll get his arms and you get his legs and we'll pin him down.
Because, you know, I'm thinking no one else on the cruise is going to wonder the same thing. So you'll catch him by surprise. You know?
Yeah, but no one else on the cruise has this podcast.
Well, that's true. That is
true. Dang right.
Anson. This is Chuck Tomasi from The Topic is Trek. Question for you, sir. So you like that. And I'll be wearing the t-shirt at the same time, so he can't forget.
Why is he running away? Even in my mind, he's running away from you. I don't understand what's going on.
You know what we should do, Chuck, is get a couple of shirts that just say staff. You know, and just, sir, we got to come this way.
Entertainment Cruise Productions? Is there ECP shirts?
Mr. Mount, the schedule says you're due for your podcast over here.
Why does it say Norwegian and it's crossed out on that t-shirt? Never mind. No questions about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have another story that's legally binding, and it's from Chuck.
I'm legally binded?
Yeah, I don't know. The fiber will help with that, so don't worry about it.
Oh, good. In space, can anyone hear you have a sidebar? It's not where I thought that was going. We're not sure that question.
Blaine Vasquez.
We're not sure that question will be answered, but on March 19th, as part of South by Southwest, there will be a panel entitled, quote, Can Regulations Boldly Go? Space Law X Star Trek. Okay, interesting panel name. It's got Star Trek in the name, so we'll go. The panel will see how Gene Roddenberry's very optimistic vision of how humans will treat space versus today's reality of international agreements, the potential for war in space, and more. Get Sam Cogley on the phone and have him meet you in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, so I've completely lost track of how many South by Southwest things there are, but you know, this, I don't even know, is this attractive programming at the music festival? I mean, I don't know what's going on here anymore.
Oh, so would this have been, it's not Space Law X Star Trek, Space Law by Star Trek? Because everything with an X in it?
The panel name has an uppercase X between Space Law and Star Trek. So I don't know whether it's a legal way to phrase something like versus.
A Roman numeral 10? Well, if it's South by Southwest, and they always say SXSW for the acronym, right? Hmm. It could be Space Law by Star Trek, or it could be okay. Space Law 10 Star Trek.
We're obviously not attorneys.
Yeah, and we don't play one on TV either. Trust me.
Let's get Bruce Maddox.
Yeah. All right, and finally, okay. On Vulcan. Picard's
looking for him right now, by the way.
Shh.
We didn't give the spoiler alert sound yet.
It's on the first episode.
Finally, on Vulcan. In Vulcan. We all know that Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, is well known as being a hub of Star Trek activity. But in order to bring that future vibe into the present, Vulcan County is going big on solar. Greengate Power and Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners, I love those Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners, announced an investment agreement for Canada's largest solar energy project and one of the largest in the world. Now, that's some pretty big news for a small southern Alberta municipality with a population of just under 4,000 county residents. So go boldly, Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. Go boldly.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm sorry. I was looking exactly where Vulcan, Alberta, Canada is.
Yes.
It's just down the street from Calgary. I was there last week.
Oh, you could have gone there.
Yeah, in the middle of winter, not my particular favorite time, but next time I go back to Calgary, I'm going to make a stop at Vulcan.
Yeah, all of our listeners in Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, on Chuck's behalf, I'd like to apologize for his snubbing.
Well, you know, everybody gets up to Calgary and the Calgary people always go, oh, you've got to see Banff. It's beautiful. I'm like, well, no, I'll go to Vulcan instead.
They go, really? All right. Now,
with their solar project.
Yes.
You know, just a side note, the other day, I did not know this, but did you see that story about Jimmy Carter?
Well, I've seen many stories about Jimmy Carter, but
he put together, not himself, I'm sure, but he had built a solar farm outside of his hometown, and it powers about 50% of the town's needs.
Is it Athens, Georgia?
Was it Plains? I think
Plains, Georgia.
Right. Yes.
Wow.
But yeah. He's got solar panels around his library and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was kind of neat.
By the way, how many people, raise your hands, would see Jimmy Carter totally just building it by himself? Oh, like everyone's raised their hands. Look at that.
You know what? I've seen him build those houses still today. I wouldn't doubt
it. That's right. All right. Well, with all the stories we covered, you'd figure that's all the news out there that Star Trek since the last.
I think we got it right. That's it.
We got everything. But, I'm sorry. You are wrong, Warp Breath, because we have an additional 74 stories we did not have time to cover.
That's a tall building. That's the tallest one we built yet. 74 stories.
That's right. And I'm scrolling and there's more and there's more. And you can find stories about Easter eggs. You can find stories about projects that the actors are working on, interviews with the actors from Star Trek Picard.
Romulans.
You can find out about, you can find things about the Star Trek Year 5 Mission comics.
Books.
You name it. We've got it in there. So you go to the show notes for episode 61 over at thetopicistrek.com and you can check out all those stories.
I love it when you give me enough lead-in time on that. Thanks.
I try to talk slower and slower and slower. And that brings us back from subspace chatter, which brings us to an appropriate sound effect. Well, we did have 74 additional stories, but
they're overheating.
Yeah, just so much for that. Yeah. And it's time to go out on our main mission. Appropriate sound effect for that.
Starfleet Command, can you boost your signal?
Can you give us any more? Well, actually, we can, because we're going to be talking about the Star Trek Picard episodes 3 and 4. So I'm afraid it's time for one more sound effect, and you know what one it is.
Spoiler alert.
Very good. All right. If you remember, you could pause, as Craig says, you can pause, watch the episodes, and come back, because we're going to talk about episodes 3 and 4. Episode 3 is entitled The End is the Beginning. Very bizarre title. And this is the short description of that episode. Completely unaware of her special nature, Soji continues her work and captures the attention of the Borg Cube Research Project's executive director. After rehashing past events with a reluctant Raffi, Picard seeks others willing to join his search for Bruce Maddox, including pilot and former Starfleet officer Cristobal Rios. And then episode 4, entitled Absolute Candor, or Candor, Candor,
Condor,
Condor, 3 days of the Candor.
Candor.
The crew's journey to Free Cloud takes a detour when Picard orders a stop at the planet Vashti, where Picard and Raffi relocated Romulan refugees 14 years earlier. Upon arrival, Picard reunites with Elnor, a young Romulan he befriended during the relocation. Meanwhile, Narek continues his attempts to learn more about Soji, while Narissa impatience with his lack of progress grows.
I should have one of those old soap opera organs going on behind the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I just noticed in this description here, I was looking for the name, the Romulan name of his sister, and I didn't find it in a few places, including I thought over at, you know where, Memory Alpha, but probably over there I just wasn't looking the right
Romulan
place.
The name of his...
Right, Narissa, because her... The name she was using on Earth was different. It was, he says, scrolling back through. That says Lieutenant Narissa Rizzo. So is her name really Narissa?
Or is, she used her real name as a cover? What? That's brilliant.
That's
in plain sight.
Yeah. Zatvash. Oh, you clever. You are so clever.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about various aspects of these two episodes. First of all, I've got a bunch of notes and observations and things, but we can just start any place in this thing. My first thing that I want to talk about is Starfleet and the Federation. They seem to conspire an awful lot with other groups on things they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, we went through this in The Undiscovered Country, and we've seen other cases where, how is there a problem with Starfleet? What's going on here?
It's inherent. Yes.
I think it's to show they are a political organization and they're willing to play the politics game when they feel it's in not even Starfleet's best interest, but whoever's in charge's best interest.
I got the fact that, you know, Picard says that half of the people didn't want to rescue the Romulans, mm-hmm, you know, because they'll never forgive them for what they did to their son. But,
those Romulan bastards.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I understand that, but, you know, we take it to a whole new level when we talk about the stuff that Raffi was saying, that she uncovered, she had proof that someone within Starfleet conspired to let the attack happen on Mars. And we go, okay, that's a bit, although I do have a theory about that one. I'm wondering, what if the officer is Commodore O? Because remember, they think Commodore O is a Vulcan.
Yeah. I do think that she's not what she says she is or appears to be.
She's a Romulan.
You're right.
Right, but they definitely think that she is a Vulcan because Picard even says so in the episode. Yeah. So I'm wondering if this is inside information that Raffi has. Maybe it's an unnamed member of Starfleet because she's head of security. So it seems to me that's a perfect person to be working from mm-hmm. the inside to let this attack happen.
Yeah, I'm like 90% sure she is not Vulcan. She's Romulan. She has a connection to the whole thing.
Well, yeah, she was ordering around Narissa, like you know, go do your job, keep an eye on your brother kind of thing. So I don't have any doubt that she's a Romulan.
Well, also, what did she say to, what's her name?
Jurati?
No, the,
Agnes.
Yes. Yeah. Agnes. Thank you. Yeah. What is it? What did she say to her? Cause we never heard that. She went from having a conversation with her. Next thing you know, Agnes is with Picard ready to go on into space.
Right. Which cause I wrote an article, for The Topic is Trek. I did that too fast.
What
for,
you did?
For The Topic is Trek. com about episodes 3 and 4. And one of the sidebars I had at the bottom of the observations was that seemed a little bizarre, right? That here's Commodore O in her Wayfarers coming along to speak to speak to her, and then all of a sudden the next thing, oh, she's just at Picard's, you know, chateau.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, that was quick. I wonder what the conversation was. I remember going, how'd she get here? And then I was like, okay, something else must have gone on that they're not ready to divulge just yet.
Yeah, I don't know whether she's being blackmailed. I don't know whether she was co-opted. I don't know if nothing at all.
Picard's asking too many questions. You need to go with him and keep an eye on him and report back kind of thing.
Yeah, because he's endangering security, and so we really need you to, you know, just keep an eye on what's going on here type
Could
of thing.
Could Agnes be a spy?
Well, but kind of, you know, she's a spy, but thinking that she's being a spy for the good guys.
Right. Right? That's right.
So if we suddenly have an episode where she has that classic episode where we're detecting signals being sent and received from the ship, but they're encoded.
The call is coming from inside the ship.
That's right.
Yeah. I know what you did last Stardate.
Well, how do you know it's not one of Rios's multitude of emergency hologram programs?
We're getting there. Trust us.
Yeah, we will get there eventually, but
I liked what's his name, the pilot. It's like he didn't really care much about. All right, whatever.
It was like he was drunk.
It's
like
tactical one. Yeah, one was firing weapons and whatnot.
Yeah. Right. He was just like, whatever. They're forcing us into the planetary defense grid. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know.
I meant tactical. I didn't mean flying. But yeah, he was like, okay, whatever. He was speaking Spanish.
Okie doke.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
And it took me a while to figure out, okay, they are trying to get away from this bird of prey, this Romulan bird of prey.
From the 1960s.
Right. Yeah. And it had the Revell decal at the bottom of it. And Rios says he's more concerned about the planetary defense grid, yet they stay close to the planet. And I'm going, well, why are they doing that? And I said, oh, well, it's probably because... although how you do this, I don't know. The Romulan bird of prey must have been trying to like box them in to force them into the grid.
Yeah.
Which is why they weren't leaving the planet. Because the first thing you want to do is then why did you get away from the planet so that the planet won't be firing at you?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be some cool turn of events, like because their ship is more nimble that, you know, he could just kind of do that. I'm going to get out of the way while you slowly fall into the planetary defense grid. That was kind of a whacked out battle, in my opinion.
Well, let's
cool
face
to
it.
See, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's
awesome to look at.
I wish we could see, you know, you could see like what I think I caught one glimpse of the underbelly, and you could definitely see the bird painted on the bottom of the thing. But, you know, it's a shame that probably that's the only time we're going to see, because it's that Romulan bird of prey, because he just happened to come across an old one, and because he's like he was some sort of mob type guy who happened to come across one and fix it up and using it to like
yeah
pretty much
for cheap.
When I found this thing, it was up on cinder blocks and the wheels were stolen.
Yeah, kind of like did some chopping on it and you know, put some, I don't know the technical terms for what I don't know. Technical terms for what you do. I don't know.
Painted these awesome flames on the side.
Clint, yeah. You sound like a car guy.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. I rent them all the time. But anyway,
I pay for one regularly.
Well, yeah, but let's face it. That entire battle was just meant to say, how do we get Seven of Nine onto the ship?
Yep. That was the end game, is we got to get Seven of Nine in the show eventually.
Yeah. Like beam him here. And then it was a Seven of Nine. Yeah.
Yeah. How, you know, chauvinistic of you to say it's a he.
Well, I did like how Picard was trying to give a couple of orders. Oh, I'm sorry. It's your ship.
Yeah. He fell back into his old captain habits.
Yeah. Whoa.
Although he did pass by the captain's chair that, you know, when Rio said, no, sit anywhere. And he kind of looked at the chair and went, no, I'm not going to sit there.
Yeah.
I'll go someplace else.
Yeah.
Now, do you get the impression that Seven is one of the Rangers? Because they talked about the Rangers patrolling that sector, but they're very spread out. And I just don't know if that's what we're supposed to. Because they talked about the Rangers couple of times in the episode. Okay, you don't really talk about that unless you're going to show it. And so that I was wondering.
That's an interesting point that went right by me. You might have something with that.
And another question I had is, do you think we'll see a cat? Because now there's a promise out there of seeing a cat.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see a cat?
And name it Spot.
And name it Spot.
Yeah. And we'll hear they don't bring Data back. They actually just bring Spot back.
It was close enough.
The cat starts going, and out comes Data. We can reconstitute Data's consciousness from this hairball.
I don't even want to think about that.
Well, one of the things we haven't really talked about much, as I know we kind of mentioned Soji, but you know, with the whole card game with the Romulan that was brought back from her Borgness.
Yes.
You know, she was playing the card game and then she put down the one card and it had the twins on it. And
are you the one who lives or the one who dies?
Are you the destroyer?
And she started calling her the destroyer. And of course, the Romulan that ate the acid pill in Picard's study, you know, he was like, they do that a lot. It seems like they kind of mirror two conversations in two different places.
You kind of get that tension back and forth.
Yeah, between two different places. They've done it a couple of times already. But they were, and he was saying, she's a destroyer. You know.
Right. And then Narek's sister gets him to call her the destroyer as well, saying, you know, you're too wrapped up in her. And who is she? Mm-hmm. You know, she's the destroyer. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that because at first, and I've read some bizarre theories about what's going on in the show and Orange is the Things. I'm trying to get that stuff out of my head, but at the same, because I read all these things for the topic is Trek and trying to figure out, all right, well, she is the destroyer. So the Romulans see her as the destroyer. And apparently Narek's mission is to somehow get some information out of her about where the others are.
Yeah, they keep referring to the others. And we've heard they're made in pairs. So
You know the Romulan. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm trying to figure out who the others are if she's the only one of the paired set left.
Well, we've heard that the Romulans are scared of AI, and then I wonder if there is some kind of and I think did they mention this episode where they had some kind of, the Romulans may have had some kind of prophecy about the AI, and there's two of them. And that's where the card comes in. And maybe that's the downfall of the Romulan Empire. I don't know. But something like that, maybe that's why they refer to her as the destroyer.
When we're on the cruise, I want to walk up to somebody dressed up as a Romulan and wave my cell phone in front of them and go, it's an android.
Oh God!
We got to get a picture of that.
Sure. Yeah,
of them running away. The same. Hey, that's the same position that Anson Mount was in when you talked to him. They were running away. That happened an awful lot.
Why did he wave this phone in front of Anson Mount?
I don't know.
To see if the Tribble does this.
Yeah. But they said the Romulans, they didn't have. They said they didn't have.
Right. They didn't have tech. They didn't believe in it. They
didn't pass down stories like that. They said,
well, they had tech. They just stuck with digital. They never went with the neural analog network thing.
Right.
And they didn't have mythology. They just had news.
I thought that was interesting. How they referred to their lore or their mythology as news.
What I got a kick out of
is, actually, it makes sense because, you know, over history, you know, we used to share stories and song and stuff like that. You know, even if you look at, was it Lord of the Rings, you know, they would tell stories of what's happened. And so people know what's going on.
That's but those were always news. Embellished. Those were what? Embellished. They weren't really news.
No, yeah, they weren't embellished. They were truth.
Current events.
Right. I'm just saying they would, you know, you would tell those kind of things. You would share stories to know what was going on in other parts. Where have you been and what's going on? So anyway, the stories.
Sir Robin ran away.
Well, in that same, thank you, Bard, the Nameless Bard, part 2. In the same episode, that same scene where Soji is speaking to Ramda. See, I remembered a name. Congratulations to me. I try to make sense of what Soji is saying is, and this is quote, I'm reading from here, the idea that former Borg might be able to create a shared narrative framework for understanding their trauma rooted in deep archetypes, but as relevant as today's news, that's just what I'm hoping to do. And that's almost what sets Ramda off right there. So it's like, what is it about that statement that's what she's looking to do is the end of everything? And again, it comes back to Borg as well. And I'm going, okay, really, is she more tied in with the Borg than anything else with this? I'm still. Well,
Data had a relationship with the Borg in more ways than one, but yes. You know, so maybe some of that's kind of tied in as well.
I'm also hoping we get more of what's going on with Hugh, because we find out suddenly this episode that he is the senior director of the entire project. And it's like, what's going on here? He just kind of shuttles Soji around places.
He moved through the ranks pretty quick.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, we don't really have any story of much about what was going on with him over all this time.
I don't know. Maybe that's his cube. It used to be my house.
Yeah. You guys, you put mud every place in the place. Clean up after yourselves.
I used to sleep over there in adjunct 6.
And that made me think of, mom, what is up with the mother of Daj and Soji? It seems like whenever she starts to talk, weird stuff happens. She was talking to Daj saying, you need to go see Picard. And all of a sudden, Daj just kind of froze and went into seek out Picard mode. And then, you know, Soji's talking to the mother saying, is everything okay? Yes. And she just bought it. And Soji goes to sleep.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, because that seemed a little off to me. She's the falling asleep part felt like a trigger. It was like one of those, but the fact that she really didn't care, she's in on something big. They brought her into this story for a reason.
She said, oh, she's fine. I was just talking to her, you know, Dash is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. That almost made it feel like she was almost like an AI representation of the mother That was an interesting wrinkle that they introduced, and I want to see where that goes.
Because we also get Narek saying that the backstory of how Soji got to the Borg cube, well, not directly to the Borg cube, but into the Beta Quadrant, was that she was a passenger on the Ellison. I see what they did there, the Ellison.
Yeah.
And he says there was no such passenger on that ship. So how much of her story is made up. When exactly did she appear someplace?
Right. And that I attribute to that to she's an android. You implanted some memories. She thinks they're hers. Congratulations. Right. We've heard this story before.
Right. But how far back does it go? It's like last week, you know, how long, although Hugh says that when he agrees to let her go in and speak to the Romulans, he says, we've been pestering me about this for a while. So she's obviously been there for a while, but you know, just when did she show up? Because Dash had the same thing. There was all these memories, but they clearly didn't happen.
I did enjoy the Borg ritual.
Yes, I called it the rom-com skating sequence.
Oh yeah. I think it was a mating ritual.
And I went back and looked at it a couple of times, and man, it was carefully shot because clearly the feet and the rest of the people in the length of that corridor did not really work out for what they were trying to do. A lot of really close shots when they're doing that that ice skating on that floor. It's like, Jonathan, you know, they got money's worth out of Jonathan that week. Because, by the way, that second episode, episode 4, was directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Yes, it was. Yep.
They all were taking turns doing, I thought they were doing 4 episodes per director, but Culpepper only did, I guess, the first 3.
Yes, that's what my understanding is.
Okay, so it's sets of 3 that they're doing, so Jonathan does the next 2 as well, I guess, maybe?
I guess.
We will see.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm done with the setup of the story.
Yes.
We're at number 5 coming up.
Yes.
I want to rush you already and find Bruce Maddox.
Yeah, need to start getting a little payoff, you know, as we go, because that, you know, I watched it. As soon as it was over, I was like, okay, there are some elements of the episode 4 I really like, but I still feel like they're setting stuff up.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I feel like, all right, if this is really a, say, 3-season show story, mm-hmm. all right, that's great. But we're under the impression that it's a 10-episode series that is going to have a second season, and rumor has it possibly 3rd season to go with it. But you need to give us stuff now. And I thought we got more payoff in the first few episodes than we did in these last 2.
Right.
You know, it's more fan service in the first 3 episodes.
Hmm.
You know, you see some things here and there. You see Data. You see, you know, I mean, there's some setup and a little bit of fan service. I think they got that out of the way up front. So we could start moving into new territory.
Well, I get sad because they're going to a planet that apparently has gambling. So look for lots of Dabo tables coming up.
Yeah, what was that? That little clip that they showed on the Ready Room, and they were dealing with pop-ups. I was like,
"Yep,
yeah." Well, they've still got pop-ups in the future.
There's no hope. Yeah. Don't you have your pop-up blocker on? Come on, what's going on here?
Yeah, right.
All right, so any final thoughts on episodes 3 and 4? How would you, it sounds like you're already rating them, how would you say they compare to episodes 1 and 2?
How would you, Chuck?
You know, I'm going to disagree with our interview with Mark B. Lee. What did he say? 6, 6.5, and 7? And he was trending up on 3? I actually enjoyed 1 and 2. And 3 and 4, like you said, are kind of dragging on the setup. 4, mm-hmm. 4 was not in that upward trajectory. Good, but probably in that 6.5, 7 range still.
See, you're using absolute candor.
Give us a 9, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I tend to agree.
You agree with that?
Yeah, that I felt like we were getting a lot, and this is the main thrust of the article that I wrote for The Topic is Trek on these, that we're getting a lot of why Picard has issues and how he hasn't dealt with them well. And okay,
we know
that's
that
great
already.
Right. So that's the point. It's like, okay, we got it. You could have told some of this as flashback after the action started picking up. So I really think that this week's episode coming up needs to, and I don't want it to be a silly episode on, you know, a Vegas planet, you know, the second half of a Battlestar Galactica, you know, the original series thing. Oh, look, everybody's just like in Skippy costumes being on a, no, I don't, I want, and I want to find out in this episode, I want to find out something about Maddox. Okay. We're promised that Maddox is supposed to be there. So either he's there or we find out why he's not there. Or, you know, I'm just going to be really like, really, we're going to drag that out as well. Cause you've laid out right from the beginning that you're looking for Maddox.
Let's wait on Vashti. We'll go to Risa first.
Yeah. I don't think I'm making my way back here again. So let's stop by Risa.
Oh my.
Well, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat. One and two were perfectly great. Three was okay. And so was four. I'm kind of, you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, I'm like, all right, you could make two questions, but give me the answer to one, you know, just kind of give me something. But I have a feeling that they're going to start picking up from five on out, but it's got to
better.
They
want to keep subscribers.
I mean, they've got somebody with them now who can chop somebody's head off. So you think good times ahead, you know?
And we know the 7 of 9 guns a blazing scene is coming.
That's right.
And you know, I could just watch Patrick Stewart. So that in itself is a plus for the whole thing. But I need a little payoff.
All right. Well, we will find out by the time you, dear listener, hear this episode, you'll be going, dude, it totally happened. Or dude, you're going to be really disappointed because you probably have already seen the episode, from the dark past of a day or two before.
We're still living here in February 19th, 2020, as we record this.
Yeah. So hey, I'm in for the duration anyway. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, with that said, it's time to come back from our main mission with an appropriate sound effect.
You want a sound effect?
Sure. We'll go with that. And our Warp Speed Roundtable begins now.
Oh.
Now. Yeah. So last time around, we asked, do you think the Romulan Borg cube will come back to life? And this time around, I'm asking this question. Captain Rios has a lot of emergency hologram programs on board. The La Serena. I mean, he's got a medical one, a navigation one, a hospitality one. I don't even know what that, why would you anyway?
And they all look like him.
Maitre D.
Yeah. If you now, so the question is, if you could have your own emergency hologram, what kind of odd emergency would it be for? And I know you've already posted yours on Facebook. So why don't you go first, Craig?
Craig.
Toilet bowl overflow emergency hologram.
Now, is emergency. That to cause it or is that to take care of it?
That's a good question. I'll take the unclog it.
Okay, because you could use it as a distraction going, oh, I'd love to have my in-laws over, but oh, look, this the toilet's so overflowed.
You need an EPH, the emergency plumber hologram.
Right.
All right, I'm going for, I got a couple in mind, the ENH and the ECH. I'll do the ECH first. That's the emergency comedic hologram for when you really just need a good joke.
Can we have that now for the
Google,
show?
Tell me a joke.
Right.
I was trying to make sure my Google device wasn't going off.
And the ENH is the emergency nachos hologram when you just got to have some nachos.
Well, it's a conflict there because I also have the ECH, but mine is the emergency cleaning hologram.
Oh, I spilled my mustard. Hey,
when you spill the nachos, you call your ECH, and then, you know, eventually you're going to have to call Craig's EPH to fix the toilet after we have a nacho party.
That's right. And after that, you have to bring the emergency cleaning hologram up to take care of that stuff.
It's almost like we planned this out.
I think we were all similar. I did think of a chef. So,
Yeah, I was thinking about an emergency cooking hologram.
Culinary.
Yeah, just the emergency is I'm hungry. That's the emergency. You know, it's like.
Please state the nature of the culinary emergency.
So, so then the question is, just like we had the question about, well, is an Android, does an Android have rights? Now we're kind of bossing these holograms around.
Oh, wait, now you need an emergency lawyer hologram.
Right. The other emergency holograms.
Whoa. Let me stop things right here. I need my attorney.
Have you been in a mesothelioma accident lately?
Or programmed to think you were, then, you know.
IRS trying to take all your latinum?
I just wonder if we're going to run into more of these holograms on his ship, because I just have a feeling we are. Too easy to have all three of them show up on the first time we see them.
Yeah.
So be prepared. And if emergency cleaning or plumbing or any of those holograms, then it was our idea first because we were not aware of it when we said that. So we will be suing Viacom CBS.
Yeah. Well, we did see, what is the actor's name that plays, Rios?
His name is Santiago Cabrera, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we saw, he was on the Ready Room with Will Wheaton, and he said, and Will had asked him, are we going to see more of these? And he said, it's possible. So
yes, that's a yes. That's straight up yes.
Yeah. He pretty much said yes, but without saying yes.
So he was doing that same thing Rebecca Romijn did. Tanya.
Yeah. I can't confirm or deny I'm working on Star Trek. Yes, I am.
Santiago, either tell us or say nothing.
Yeah, then Will Wheaton pulled out a Batleth and threatened him.
Oh, my.
No, I'm just
kidding. He had it in his pocket. It was really painful.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Batleth.
he just pulled out like a Swiss Army
Batleth. From Ron Popeil comes the pocket Batleth.
A Swiss Army Batleth.
All right. Well, if you, dear listener, have an idea for an emergency hologram, well, you can leave a comment over on our Facebook page. I've got a post up about it. Just tell us what kind of emergency hologram you would like to have, or some sort of odd chore in the house, an emergency computer repair hologram.
An emergency breakup.
Yeah. Hologram.
Hey, just go and talk to so-and-so and, you know, let her down easy.
Now, can you ghost somebody if you never show up again, but the hologram does? I don't know.
And the hologram looks like you? That's not confusing at all.
It's better than texting, I guess.
I guess. Anyway. All right, well, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and try to warp on out of here, although, you know, we run on impulse power. You can find me, Clinton, over at Comedy Forecast, all one word, with the number 4.com. You can find me on Twitter, Comedy Forecast, Instagram, Facebook, MeWe, your local deli counter, I don't know, wherever. Who speaks for you guys this week?
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in the sky, I have awaited a question.
What? Well, I gave you the question. Now give me the answer. Stop showing me these video clips of things. Just give me the answer.
Pop-up ads in the Guardian of Forever.
Right.
You can find us over at Technorama Podcast. Just search for Technorama Podcast on your favorite search engine or go to chuckchat.com/Technorama. And we've got everything there you need to. I think we now have a certification. You can become a certified Technorama nerd.
Or you know what you can do?
Oh, we do.
You can activate your emergency podcast hologram and just ask it to play it. So
yeah, I'm taking the night off. Here's my hologram, my Craig hologram.
All right, time to hit the theme, boys.
Let's see if we can get the right one this time. Sweet.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't
put on the red emergency hologram. No, that's not it. That's not it.
Oh, another red shirt's dead. Pull up another one.
Emergency red shirt hologram activate.